sins make glad the city of our God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of different ways of looking at that scripture. How many are thankful for the river of life that flows? Hallelujah. And wherever that river flows, it brings life to us this morning. Jesus said, out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. How many know there's a stream inside of you this morning? Hallelujah. Living waters. Out of your bellies flow rivers of living water. I don't know if we really grasp a hold of that or know what a resource we have. Hallelujah. The life-giving power of the Holy Spirit out of our bellies. Amen? Hallelujah. And it says that there is a river whose streams. How many know you are streams today? You are tributaries. You are branches of an even greater thing. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we are just a small part of an even greater things this morning. And the scriptures in the song says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. How many know you have the power to release life this morning? Amen. The scripture says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. Amen. How often do we have opportunities through what we say, through the spoken word, to just begin to declare life and healing. Amen? In Jesus' name, and declare the goodness of the Lord and encouragement and to uplift somebody. How many of you can cause life to come forth out of a situation that seems as if it were dead or dried or weary? That sometimes by the power of your words, when you begin to declare what the word says and what the spirit says, amen? Hallelujah, that you can bring life to dry and thirsty land. Hallelujah, this morning. So I'm thankful for the river of life that I feel flowing in this house this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the streams that are contributing this morning to this house. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm thankful for the healings that are taking place right now. Amen. Let's just lift our hands a minute and just say, thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what's happening right now, Lord, in the realm of the Spirit. For what you've already, your word has already gone forth. And Lord, you said your word would not return unto us void, God. I send that word to every region, every area of this nation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, every request this morning, I thank you. I'm thanking you in advance, God, because I know you're already healing. I know you're already saving. I know you're already touching. And God, I believe we're going to hear reports of Holy Ghost encounters, Holy Ghost moments, Holy Ghost touches right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Through the power of your Holy Spirit. Through the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you believe it this morning? Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe what happens here in this service is only a small part of what's happening in the realms of the heavens, what's happening in our earth, what's happening all over creation. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that we have a refuge. I'm thankful that we have a place to come together. How many know the church is a resource in a whole lot of different areas? Amen. You may come in needing it as a resource of help or healing or as if coming to a hospital and needing strength and help and healing. You may come as being one of those who are administering that healing or that help or that strength or whatever it might be, whatever the need might be. Amen. That God is moving. God is touching. Hallelujah. We come in to give and we come in to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. I come this morning to receive as much as I come to give. Hallelujah. And to receive from you all and to receive from the throne of God. And I feel touched this morning. Amen. I felt his presence in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was touched by our young folks that were up here this morning ministering and praying and dancing. And they crack me up. I'm telling you, they minister to me. When I see them little legs moving, I'm thinking, if I had it in me, I'd be moving right there with you. Hallelujah. But I do things that hurt myself when I try to do those kind of things. So, amen. If you could see them, you probably all can't see them back there. I'm telling you, they got some moves up here. They're breakdancing, and they are getting down. Hallelujah, up here. And then the young ones that came and ministered and laid hands on them. I'll tell you what, I put as much confidence in the prayers. Yeah. of the littlest one as I do of the oldest one. I think we come to a place where we get mindsets. We think unless pastor lays hands on you, or unless, you know, Benny Hinn speaks a word over us, unless some great person prays for me, I can't be healed. But I'm going to tell you what, I'll take the prayers of the youngest just as well. I'll take them of the old. Amen. Because there is no little Holy Ghost. And they pray from their heart and they believe when they pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I have confidence in that. I have confidence in those worshipers. Hallelujah. They bless my heart. Amen. They minister to me. They encourage me. Hallelujah. George's dad came in the house the other day, and he had hurt his back. He was using a chainsaw, and his back went out, and he was in some major pain. And one of the first things she did when he came through the door was lay hands on her daddy and pray for him. I believe in the power of prayer. I'm telling you, if you teach them from the time they're young to lay hands on them and pray for them and believe in the power of prayer, I believe those things are important. And I believe they're powerful. Amen? And I believe they change things. I believe prayer changes things. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to let you know before I forget that Dr. Lynn Hiles will be ministering here with us next Sunday in the service. So you're not going to want to miss that. Come out. Bring somebody. Invite somebody to come with you. It's always an honor when we have their family in the house with us. Of course, we're honored to have Joyce with us. On a more frequent occasion, and she's a mighty woman of God in this house, and I honor her, and I honor their ministry. They do an incredible ministry all over the nation and all over other nations, and their show, literally their tape ministry, their CD ministry, so I guess it's not tape now, we're beyond that, I'm still back in tape, their CD ministry literally is touching lives all over the earth, and so I bless God for that. Amen. And what ministry they have out of this house, we're honored to have them here. And I said this before, and I will say this again. Anytime you have opportunity to sow into this ministry, it is seed in good ground. Whether it's just a word of encouragement, whether it's an offering that you can give to them, whether it's through support through their CD of the month, through their TV show, their books and materials, they have a heart for God, and they do what they do because they love God and they love people. And so I encourage you to sow into that ministry. Amen. I'm thankful for all the ministry out of this house. We have such dedicated, committed folks in this house that are either givers or prayer warriors or are faithful in their positions and their jobs, and you are what makes Word of Deliverance who they are. And I honor all of you this morning for your giving heart, for your hands that you put to the plow. We are less than a month to church camp. It is just around the corner. Amen. We are pardon? You're dreaming about it this morning. Yeah, everybody starts dreaming about camp about this time. I have a yearly dream that everybody showed up and I forgot it was that week. And I wasn't ready, and so did some of the others. It's called a nightmare. That's not a dream. It's called a nightmare. Amen. But God does some incredible things in this week, in that week for our kids. It's powerful. Amen. And it's empowering to them. And so I'm so thankful for that. And everyone who participates that can give to us in any way. If you can give us of your time, of your services, of your talents, we certainly need your help. If you can't give, we understand. We know jobs sometimes limit you. You might can slip in an evening and help with dishes or carry some trash out or whatever it is you can do. If you can't help in any of those ways, you can support financially. If you want to give, we do the camp through a donation. Whatever they bring in is what we take, and we just ask for donation. We don't turn anybody away because of funds or resources. It's done out of this house. Word of Deliverance is committed to carry the financial end of it should it not come in, because we believe in the kids and we believe in what we do here. But if you want to support that in any way, I encourage you to do so. It's seed into good ground. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to go to Psalms chapter 37 this morning. It's really kind of just a simple thought that I'm going to jump into. It's just one of those scriptures that has always been just a steady for me. It's really some simple principles, I believe, that I want to share with you this morning, and then I'll get out of your way. I really feel like the Holy Ghost has done a lot in this house this morning, and I really feel like the Holy Ghost has already ministered. So I'm not going to try to add to what the Holy Ghost has already done. I'm just going to say a few things, and then we'll move on. Amen? But Jenny was praying over some of our teen men up here this morning and was talking about them being giant slayers and mighty men of God. And you know, again, the power of God is just as mighty in them as it is in our adults or more mature folks. Amen. Do you believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah. And one thing that we've been ministering on Wednesday nights and in here talking about David and the strengths of David. And Wednesday night we talked about the mighty men that were in the court of David. I mean, in the end of Samuel, 2 Samuel, it talks about David's mighty men, and there's 30 to 33 mighty men that are listed there. And, you know, he had a lot more men under his company, but in his personal cabinet, there was about 30 men that were just pretty much unstoppable. And, you know, he started out in the cave with 400 of them. And maybe they became a part of his. I don't know how much they became a part of all that he did in all of his life and all of his experiences. But how many know there's something to be said for those who stick it out to the end and stood with David all the way through? Amen? I mean, no, it's easy to run at times. But those who have the strength to stick it out to the end. It said of them, Benaiah was one of them. He's one of my favorite guys in there. He said he slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now that is one bad fella. Amen? Not just slew a lion, but he slew the lion in the pit. And not just in a pit, but on a snowy day. I mean, they were trained by the best. They were trained by a little boy who knew what it was to use a sling and a stone. But more than a sling and a stone, David knew the power of God and the anointing of God. And I love the scripture, you know, that we talked about this last Sunday a little bit. I'm going to say it and then we'll move on. But I mean, David went into the company of Saul after he slayed the giant, after he had slain Goliath, and he walked into the company of him with the head of Goliath in his head. And I'm telling you, that has been a powerful picture in my mind since I came across that scripture the other day. And I thought, you know, as the guys were standing up here tonight and as we were praying over them, sometimes we look at the person and we look at their face and we look at their stature and we look at their age and we look at all of those things. But I want you for a moment to take your eyes off of their face and an eyes off of their stature. And I want you to look and see what they're holding in their hand, because you just might find out that little guy or that little guy standing in front of you is holding the head of a giant in their head, because they're a giant slayer. They are anointed and purposed for destiny and power, and they've got something in them that you just might need. So take a moment sometimes and look out of the face of somebody you might look at, because you might be looking at them with eyes that says they'll never amount to nothing. They're going to grow up just like their mama or their daddy. They're going to end up in trouble. They're going to get themselves, you know, in trouble. And we got all kinds of things we want to pronounce over people, because we know their background, we know their history, we know their face. But I want you for just a moment, take your eyes off of their face and look at their hands, because you just might find out there's a head of a giant in their hand. And when you find out there's a head and their of a giant in their hand, you better ask them, who's your daddy? Because you're going to find out he came from some anointed seed. He's done had the prophet prophesy over him. He's already had an anointing put on his head. He's already been purposed and destined for something great. It don't matter what he looks like. It don't matter what he sounds like. But check out his hands, because you'll find out he just might be a giant slayer. I'm telling you, that's powerful. And that has been a picture to me that I'm using in my life when I'm confronted with situations. Then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in there with the giant's head in my hand. I might look like I don't know what I'm doing. I might be caught off. I might not know what I'm going, but I got some history behind me. I got some history behind me. I got some anointing. I got some purpose. I got some prophetic word that's been spoken and declared over me, and I got a giant's head in my hand. This is not my first rodeo. Hallelujah. I'm holding a giant's head in my hand. I mean, sometimes you got to look back to some days. Butch, I can't go on without saying, I stood here and prayed for you this morning, but I was there the night when the Holy Ghost got a hold of you and you danced yourself around that church over there. And I'm going to tell you what, the power of God and the anointing of God was so strong on you. You've never got away from it, no matter where you've desired to go. The Holy Ghost that you got right over there has kept you and preserved you. And I'm telling you, mighty man of God, your best days are yet to come. And I am stand with you and declaring that whatever you face and whatever you come up against, you go ahead and pick up the giant's head and said, it may want to knock me down today, but I got Goliath's head in my hand. It might want to attack me. It might look like I'm a youth. It might look like I'm defeated, but I got a giant's head in my hand, and I'll stand. Don't look at my face. Don't look at my past. Don't look at my history. Look at what I got in my hand, and go ahead and ask me, who's my daddy? Because I know a heavenly Father who believes in me, who empowers me. Hallelujah. You're anointed for greatness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're anointed for greatness. Let me tell you what, God does not put his hand on you for just common, unnecessary circumstances. How many know when God lays his hand on you, you can count on his ability to bring you to the purpose of God in your life? Amen? Hallelujah. When he places his hand on you, it's for purpose. It's for power, and it's for destiny. Hallelujah. And I believe God wants to stir up some of the anointing and some of the giftings even in this house. Hallelujah. Some anointing and giftings in this house. Do not let lay dormant what God has put in your heart. Thank you, Brother John, for starting us out this morning saying touching Jesus is all that matters. How many know I believe we touched Jesus today? I felt him touch me today. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the art of the apothecary and the joining of the spices in the house of God. Hallelujah. And so what he's brought us through and where he's taken us to. I mean, no, David had many struggles in his life. Hallelujah. But he knew God. He knew the faithfulness of God. And he knew how to fall on the mercy of God. Anybody in here ever had to fall on the mercy of God and say, man, I blew that one big time. I thought I had her figured out, but hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you just got to say, God, have mercy on me. Show me your ways. One thing about David, he knew how to seek out the will of God in his life. Hallelujah. The book of Psalms are such a powerful tool. And I said this before, and then I'll get started here. I'm going to Psalms this morning. But how many know David's harp was way more powerful than his sword ever was? Yeah, he killed the giant with that sword, cut off his head. And yeah, he got it back from the priest. But how many know that was not the weapon of David? The greatest thing David ever had, the greatest weapon he ever had was a harp and the heart of a worshiper. Because when Saul could not be comforted any other way, he said, send me somebody who knows how to play on the harp. Send me somebody who knows how to pray. Send me somebody who knows how to praise. I'm telling you, prayer and praise can change atmospheres, changes situations, changes things in our life. How many know if it doesn't do anything else, it changes your perspective on a situation. It changes how you view things. Hallelujah. It causes you to take your eyes off of the struggle and put them on Jesus. And when we do, he has the strength and the power to do the miraculous. Hallelujah. I want to go to Psalms chapter 37 this morning in verse 1. And I'm just going to talk about a couple little things that I just believe are important for us to remember. Hallelujah. Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How many are ready for the abundance of peace? Yeah. Hallelujah. Peace, something hard to come by sometimes these days. The true peace of God that rules your heart. Amen? And the peace of God that rules your heart in struggles or in good times. Amen? How many believe you can have a peace of God in your heart even when it seems like everything else around you is falling apart? To a place where you can come to and say, Lord, I know you got this. I know you got this. I don't see the end from the beginning. I don't see the beginning from the end. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what you got in mind, but I know you got this. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know things happen around us all the time? Yeah. There's things that hit you and catch you off guard. Yeah. Smack you upside the head sometime. You think, where did that come from? You know, I didn't see that one coming. And I'm not necessarily talking about the enemy fighting against you. I'm just telling you, sometimes you come up against some things that are some roadblocks in your life. There's some, seems like there's struggles and that seem like they deter you from where you need to go. But how many know we have to come to the place where we have the confidence and we can trust in God in every situation? I want to talk about four words that are in that portion of Scripture. And it gives David gives us some commands there. He doesn't say, if you want to or you should. He just tells you, trust, delight, commit, and rest. How many know those are four powerful words in the Christian walk? Trust, delight, commit, and rest. See, I believe if we have full trust in the God that we serve, then we have the ability to delight ourselves in Him, to enjoy His favor, to enjoy His love, His mercy, His presence in our life. And then we have the ability to commit everything in our life to Him. And once we have committed everything in our life to Him, then we can find that true rest that only comes from serving Him. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Trust. Complete trust in Him. Now, I've told you before, that's something I'm working on, that trust factor. And I'm learning more and more to say, God, I trust you in this. I trust your decision in my life. I trust you to guide me, to direct me, to lead me in the path that I need to go. Amen? And I believe a lot of times we say, I trust God, but do we really trust Him with every aspect of our life and every level of our life to we say, God, I'm trusting you in this. I know you got my best interest at heart. Has anybody ever prayed for something and it seemed as if God did not answer your prayer? It seemed like it didn't come that way, only to find out that God was directing you in another path, and that was the path He wanted you to take. And had He went by what your thought was, you would have missed what God had in step for you in the next season of your life. I mean, no, sometimes you got to trust Him from here to there. You know, there's a couple sayings out. One of them is, if God closes the door, praise Him in the hallway. You know, that sort of thing. And, you know, there's sometimes in our life where it feels like we're between trapezes. I ministered on this back some time ago. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been on a trapeze. I haven't. But I can only imagine what it would feel like when you're between trapezes. You know, that time when you've let go of that one, and the next one's supposed to be right there, and you're hoping that it is. Just think about that for a moment. And how many times in our life have we been in that moment with God to say, Lord, I release and I let go of where I am. But right now I feel like I'm falling, but hopefully that next one is right there. And He's so faithful with us in every area of our life that when we, just because we don't see it does not mean God's not bringing it to pass. And so I believe God is teaching us more and more to trust Him, to trust His voice, to trust His direction in our life, to trust His decisions in our life, to trust Him with every aspect of our life. Because what I find is most of the time as people, we say, God, I give this to you, and Lord, I relinquish this to you, and Lord, I know you're going to meet this need, but we pick it back up when we leave just in case he hasn't got it all figured out because we think we know how to do it. And so we don't fully trust him with it. And sometimes we trust our own thoughts. We trust our own direction or our own guidance and our own leadership. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6 and 25 is a pretty well-known scripture. Psalms 91, 1 and 2 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and my God," what? "In Him will I trust." Hallelujah. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To abide under the wings of the Almighty, as a hen would gather their chicks. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty, as we would under the wings of a cherubim. Hallelujah. That covers a mercy seat, that secret place with God, that we can trust Him fully and totally. Matthew 6 and 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Isn't there more to life than what you put on and what you eat? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" How many of you can just think yourself taller? By taking thought can add to your stature, not just in the natural, but even in your own spiritual stature. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you, really even your ability, but God's ability in you. How many know promotion comes from the Lord? And if you've been promoted by Him, you've been promoted. Hallelujah. People can change. They can fluctuate back and forth, but promotion that comes from Him is true promotion, and that promotion comes to the Lord. If you want to add to your stature, trust in His ability. Hallelujah. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." He says, consider the lily, how they grow. How does a lily grow? Somebody tell me, how does a lily grow? It doesn't toil and doesn't spin. Rain and sunshine. It just does. It just does. Amen? The elements are in place. A little dirt. A little dirt, a little rain, a little sunshine. Amen? How many know we don't really know how a lily grows? But it does. Do we really know the growth process of how that stuff works? We don't know. It says they don't toil, they don't spin. But they're about as beautiful as they come. Solomon, all of his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. I have this thing that I really think that dandelions were created for children. And I'm not sure who decided that lilies or roses were more beautiful than dandelions. Really. I mean, we look at dandelions like they are a weed. And we do our best to fight them out of our yards because they are troublesome. And the reason they're troublesome is once they go to seed, they get these puff balls. You know what I'm talking about? The kids at school love to get these little things, pick them, and blow those seeds. And those seeds look like the least amount of a feather. I mean, have you ever really looked at the puffball of a dandelion and the seed? But the power of that seed to recreate itself, to come up in adverse situations. How many know dandelions will come up through blacktop? Dandelions will come up everywhere, and they have the power to multiply themselves many times over. Now, when we take kids out on the playground at playtime, they want to get off the sidewalk and pick all the dandelions along the way, and then they want to bring them to you. Here, Mrs. Unger, here's a dandelion. I say thank you very much. But then when we're on the sidewalk and they want to get off there and pick. I say, no, guys, you got to stay on the sidewalk because they like to play in the bushes. They like to go over and in and out. Sometimes there's bees' nests. The other day when I'm walking out on the sidewalk, though, how many know the dandelions are starting to go to seed now? There's a few dandelions, but there are lots of puffballs. And I got this little bit of revelation. I thought, you know what? If I'd let them kids pick them dandelions, all them puffballs wouldn't have been there last year. Now, and next year, we might not have to worry about all them dandelion weeds coming up. Because all those little hands wanted to pick them, and I wouldn't let them. Amen? What you need is a whole herd of kids in your yard if you're plagued with dandelions. Because they love to pick flowers, and it's the only flowers kids are allowed to pick and give to you. The rest of them are all there for a purpose, right? So don't pick the roses. Don't pick, you know, don't pick the tulips. Don't pick the daffodils. But you can pick the dandelions. But oh, what power in the seed for them things to reproduce. Amen? Hallelujah. But he said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil and they don't spin. They don't start out every morning by saying, grow, 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 grow. They just do what God put in them to do. Amen? And I think if we come to the place in our life where we really truly trust in the power of God in your life. How many of you here can say, I truly trust God with my future? Thank you for you five. But that's okay because I want you to be honest because I wasn't sure if I was going to raise my hand or not. Because when you ask that, do you truly trust God with where you are right now and with your future? I mean, no, I have some prayers before God. Say, God, I need you to guide my steps. I need you to direct my steps. I need you to take me where you want me to go. But I need you to talk loud and speak English and tell me exactly what you want to do. But how many know the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? It didn't say the vision of a righteous man is ordered from the Lord. It says the steps. And see, here's what I found out is we begin to put one foot in front of the other. And we just begin to follow in the path that he's laid before us. And we begin to follow him and say, Lord, I trust you with every step of the way. I trust you with where you want to take me. You've never failed me yet. You've not left me behind to this point. Hallelujah. You are going to take me where you need me to go. Help me to trust you to see what your purpose in my life is. How many remember the scene out of one of the Indiana Jones movies when he's got to get across the chasm, but he doesn't know how to do it? But he steps out. Anybody remember that scene? He steps out to what seems like nowhere, to an endless pit, only to find out that the step and the bridge was there, but he couldn't see it until he made the first step. I mean, no, God only asks us for our obedience in stepping out or stepping into what he's called us to do. And if we truly submit ourselves to him and trust him with our whole person, I believe God will do things above and beyond anything that we have even comprehended for ourselves. How many can say God has already taken you to places that you didn't think you'd make it, but he's already brought you to places that I say, God, you are Jehovah sneaky. You are Jehovah sneaky. Anybody else in here with me? Hallelujah. I mean, even in the areas and places of my life, I find out more and more all the time, maybe it's because I'm getting older and I'm starting to get wiser, that God really truly weaves a tapestry of our life. That our life truly is a tapestry that's woven by the contacts that we make, the people that we meet, the people that are in our lives, the people that come and go in our lives. How many know there's some people meant to stay in your life and there are some people meant to go? And in both situations, that's a good thing. Amen? It's not easy sometimes, but it's a good thing. God knows his purpose and his plan in our life. And, you know, even when people come to me and ask questions about the church or wondering if they should be here or there or someplace else, I say, you know, you are welcome at our house. You are welcome to be a part of our assembly. We will love you. We will minister to you in whatever way we can. But if this is not where you need to be, I'll help you find what you're looking for. And I mean that in the right way, because if this is not what you need, you'll be miserable, and I'll be miserable trying to hold you here. But if there is something else God has in mind for you, I really want what God wants for you. So I'll help you find whatever that is that God wants for you, because that's his ultimate purpose. It's not about noses and toeses. It's not about filling pews. It's about what God wants in our lives. And I truly believe that if he joins you here, and if he joins your heart here, he will join your wallet here. He will join your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your giving. He will join all of those things to this house. And out of that joining, you will be a minister in this house, not necessarily just a consumer, but an exporter of the grace and mercy of God and the gifting of God that is in this house and that is in you. Amen? Because our greatest mission field begins when we leave that door this morning. And we go out. A mission field doesn't mean you have to be in another country. And thank God for those who are ministering there. Those who we've prayed over coverings today, thank God for the message of the gospel that is reaching the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. But how many know we can be just as effective on the job you're going to go to tomorrow morning? Or the classroom you might be in, or the grocery store that you might stop by? How many know I have just about as much opportunity to minister the gospel in the food line as I do in the pulpit? I had one of those weeks at work last week that every time I turned around, somebody was pulling me aside. So I need you to pray. I need you to pray. Will you remember me in prayer? So let me just pray for you right now. We just prayed right in the middle of the hallway. They can tell me that there's no prayer in public school. I know better. Hallelujah, because this girl goes down the halls a whole lot of times speaking in tongues under her breath, praying. Amen. Those are great opportunities. And thank God for the times that I could be there and say, pray for me. Have somebody pray for me. I mean, we all need minister to. We all need the touch. Hallelujah. I was so thankful for the young men that came and laid hands on me today. Amen. Hallelujah. I woke up with a terrible headache today, but thank God for his touch. Thank God for his healing power, and thank God for their vision to lay hands on me. Amen. We all need that touch. We all need the power of God in our life. None of us are an island by ourselves. We need the body of Christ and the ministry. Hallelujah. And so it says, consider how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Something as simple as the grass. How many say, you know, this old saying is don't sweat the small stuff. Because after all, most of it all is just small stuff. Amen. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We spend a whole lot of time worrying about tomorrow, and tomorrow is not even here. How many know you need to enjoy the day? You need to enjoy the journey. You need to enjoy where you are in your life and take moments to be thankful. Amen? For the goodness of God in your life. If you really stop and pause, you know, I don't think we really stop long enough really to just meditate. Just spend some time thinking about God. Let him talk to you and think about the goodness of God in your life. Amen? The other morning it flooded so terribly. 13 was closed. I couldn't get down Winchester Grade Road. So I had a delay, had to go back to the house, was going to be late for work, was going to just call in so somebody closer could get there. The substitute system was down. I couldn't call in. I said, then I'll be there when I can get there. So I had to go the long way around. I had to take another route and go out by the Liberty Station. I had to go to Virginia to get to Berkeley Springs. Okay? Sometimes you got to take the long way around. But on my way to work that morning, it was the most beautiful ride I have had for a while. There was something about the way the light hit the mountains and the trees that had spots of blue and green and things like that. And everything always looks so fresh and so new and alive after the rain, you know, whereas the rest of the county was washing away. Where I was, it was just absolutely gorgeous. It was beautiful. There's something about the rain that washes everything away and causes everything to look so pristine and clear and crisp and fresh. And it was just a beautiful ride into work, so relaxing and so comforting to just ponder. Amen? The goodness of God, and to reflect on His goodness in our life. Hallelujah. The next thing that the psalmist David says is delight. Find peace and fulfillment in Him. To delight yourself in the Lord. To find your peace and your fulfillment in Him. Another translation kind of said, as if it would be a delicacy or a tasting of something that is exquisite or a delicacy in your life. And I thought about the scripture that said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Our delight is in the Lord. We delight ourselves in Him and in the laws of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in His presence, how many know we find His lavish love, His extravagant grace and mercy in our life? John 15 says, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. How many know, go ahead and bring up John 15, 7 through 17, Amber. I'll try to read these quickly. There's a lot of scriptures, but I'll just share a lot of them from my heart. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I mean, no, that's what his word says. That's Jesus. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That's Jesus talking in red letter edition in your Bible. That you can ask what you will and it shall be done. The scripture says you have not because you ask not. You know, and I've just learned in situations that seem hopeless or seem like they're beyond our control, you know what? I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to go ahead and ask. Because the scripture says you don't have because you don't ask. I'm going to ask. And I know God in his sovereignty has different plans sometimes than what we see, but I'm always going to err on the side of asking. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Say, Lord, I know what your word says, and I'm going to ask. You said you'd withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before you. Hallelujah. There's comfort in those words to know that scripture is all about how much he loves us. That portion of scripture is Jesus talking to his disciples right after the upper room experience and imparting into them. He said, as my Father has loved me, I have loved you. And he was about to send them forth and commission them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. The next thing it says, trust, delight. Find your confidence, your fulfillment in him. Commit. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let me know that you can cast all your cares on him. Every concern, every conflict, everything in your heart, you can cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. 2 Timothy, we read last week or week or so ago, it says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's saying there in that portion of scripture, for I have believed and I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that he is able to keep what I commit to him. So my question is, what in our life have we committed to him? Have we committed our thoughts? Have we committed our ways? Have we committed our unsaved loved ones? Have we committed our finances? Have we committed our health? He is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. And when we fully come to the place where we can commit to him everything in our life, Lord, my concerns, my flaws, my good, my bad, my day, my family, whatever it is, I commit those things to you and I trust you fully with those. I trust in you. I delight myself in your ways and I am committing to you everything. Hallelujah. I am committing to you everything. You know, the scripture says, cast your bread upon the waters and it shall return to you after many days. How many know there's a whole lot of things that we cast our care upon him? And he careth for you. And we find in the ripples of our life that it comes back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. As we give into the storehouse of God, that's where that scripture comes from, that he gives back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. As we commit to him. And then as we have trusted, delighted, committed, then it says rest. Hallelujah. Rest. When you have truly committed, you can rest. Rest is one of those things that seems like it's in short demand these days. Amen? Rest dispels worry, stress, anxiety, busyness. See, I know that I have the rest of God. I know that I have the peace of God. But being able to really fully operate in that rest, how many know, is a little bit different situation. Because there's a whole lot of time in my life, and maybe some of you that can relate, that I am resting on the outside. My body is sitting down on the outside, but inside it's standing up. Anybody relate with me? I'm in the recliner. Dan will say, what did the weatherman just say? I don't know. He'll say, honey, you were just looking right at it. Yeah, but I didn't hear a thing he said. Why? Because my body is motion, out of motion, or is mobile. But my mind is somewhere totally out. Am I the only one in the house that does? I got to watch the weather three times before I can get through the whole wind of it because my mind goes someplace else. Amen. I remember a long time ago that I kept one of those little family circle cartoons on my refrigerator. And it was about this little boy. And he's sitting out underneath the oak tree. And his mom and dad, and he's just sitting there enjoying the day or so it seems. And his dad looks, and mom looks out the window and said, oh, to be a child again and to have no worries. But in the little boy, there's this speech bubble. And in his speech bubble is all the things he's worried about. The spelling test he's got to take tomorrow. The school bully. The chores he didn't get done. All the things that's on his mind that he didn't accomplish. And they're thinking, well, you know, you're young. You don't have any stresses. How many know worry seems like it comes from, it's built in, born in there somewhere. I don't know. We seem to get built in with worry, but we seem like we have to accomplish the rest part of it. Amen. So many times, sometimes your body can be at rest or I'll say out of motion, but your mind doesn't stop because it's 100 different directions. But I'm thankful for the times that even when we seem like we are weary and that rest won't come, there is a rest in God, that you can find that place in God that says, God, you got this. And I just have to rest in the fact that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can think, that you have the bigger picture, that you are above and beyond my comprehension. Amen? It's hard to rest sometimes in stressful situations. It's hard to sometimes find that place in your mind where you can just flip that switch and just turn it off for a little while, because sometimes that's how we're amped. Sometimes that's how we're programmed. How many know sometimes we can sow that into other people, our stress, our worry, our frustrations, and things like that. You know, we can be such a worrier that we embed that in the people around us. Amen? Do you believe that? I mean, I have a friend and she worries about everything. And I think sometimes if you don't kind of get that under control, you're going to sow that in all these people that you're in charge of, because then everybody's fretful, everybody's worrying. Now, let me know, there is a place that we can rest in God. Not that the situation changes. How many know when they were in the midst of the storm out in the sea and the storm came, Jesus modeled perfect peace to them. He did not just tell them about it. He did just not give them the scriptures for it. He modeled perfect peace. And he's in the boat and in the ship, and I'm sure Jim could preach this, and some of these guys with boats could preach this much better than I. But how many know this? This says the ship is being tossed about with the waves, so that they are so flipped out. They're saying, you know, to the everything is out of control. Now, these are fishermen. These are guys who are family, generational fishermen who know how to handle boats. All right? This must be one out of their control. You ever been in that storm where it's just so totally out of your control? Say, you know, normally I got this, but I don't got this one. And they're in the midst of the storm in the ship. And they said to Jesus, where is Jesus? They said, well, he's asleep in the ship. In the hinder part of the ship, I believe it says. He's asleep. Well, somebody wake him up. He said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you feel the boat rocking? Don't you know there's a storm out here? But see, here's the thing. Jesus models perfect peace. What's he doing in the midst of the storm? What's he doing when the boat's rocking? What's he doing when everything's out of control? He's at rest. He's at peace. And if he's at peace, here's what you do. I don't know who woke him up. I don't know which one said, don't you care that we perish? But maybe you should just crawl in beside of him and say, this boat ain't going down with him on it. So I'm just going to crawl in. If he's asleep, I'm asleep. How many know, rather than waking him up? Because he gets up and he says, all right, peace be still. Oh, you of little faith. What were you worrying about? Not in a mocking sense of the way, but really, if they'd had the faith to believe what we need to do sometimes, say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to crawl in beside of you. If you're at rest, I'm going to be at rest. If the storm is contrary to what you're doing, then I'm going to crawl into where you, I'm going to get on board with what you're doing, and the storm will have to line up with what he's doing. Amen. How many of the storms in your life have to line up with what Jesus is doing? And he said, Master, don't you care that we perish? How many of you, sometimes we got to crawl in beside of him and say, Lord, I'm just going to snuggle up to you, because this boat that I'm in right now is not going down with you on it. Do you believe that? The boat you're on is not going down with you in it. So I'm going to take example of you who is modeling to me perfect peace. How many know that's easy to say sometimes? Physically, it's much more difficult to get a grasp on. It's much more difficult to get a hold of. Hallelujah. And how many know your mind has to be stayed upon him? How quickly things cause our mind to not be stayed upon him. Our mind is turned to whatever the circumstances are. And when our mind is turned to our circumstances, our peace goes with it. Amen. As our mind is turned back to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, our peace comes in that. Our peace comes with truly understanding and knowing that he's got us in the palm of our hands. Hebrews says to enter into his rest is to cease from our own labors. That doesn't mean living this couch potato sedentary life. I mean, ceasing from your own labors is your own ability to make things happen. The harder you're fighting, I mean, the number one rule they tell you if you're a lifeguard, weren't you a lifeguard, Robert, at one point? Weren't you a lifeguard at one point? If a person's going down, what do they tell you not to do? Don't get in their struggle with them. Because they're going to pull you down. They say, let them wear themselves out. And when they get to where they're kind of wore out, then you can get a hold of them. If you try to frantically go in the midst of that situation, they're going to pull you both down trying to fight their way out. I mean, sometimes you just got to yield and say, Lord, I give it to you. Not just sometimes, all the time. Say, Lord, I trust you with it. I'm going to delight in your ways. I'm going to commit everything that I have to you, and I'm going to rest in the fact that you got this in the palm of your hand. Do you believe that today? That's simple, but that's good words to refer back to. I'm going to trust. I'm going to delight. I'm going to commit, and I'm going to rest. Hallelujah. And in that rest, we find out that he can work all things after the counsel of his own good. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you this morning. I believe in you, and I believe in the God in you. Amen? Hallelujah. To do the miraculous in and amongst us. I believe great things are in store for the folks of this house. And I believe in God I believe God can take us to the next level, another level in him. Amen? As our hearts are turned toward him, as we trust him, we delight in him, we commit it to him, and then we rest in what God wants to do in and amongst us. Amen? Stand this morning while Beth ministers to us in a song this morning. Hallelujah, and as our children are coming.